Maybe my home's on the road. The road's the only place I feel home. I don't know if I'm ever gonna get back again this way. The road's the only place I feel home. Feel at home.
Hello and welcome to the My Home is on the Road show. This is a show that brings you stories and music from the American road. My name is Dave Manning, and this week the show is coming to you from Andover, Massachusetts, as I am visiting my sis who lives here, and I'm in transit from out in Arizona to Aberdeen, Scotland. So we'll be bringing you some shows from over in Scotland in the near future. But for this week and next week, we're going to revisit some conversations recorded around a campfire outside Sedona, Arizona, with Mike and Jude, two folks that have been traveling on the road for about 3 months when I met them. And I was able to see them again about 2 weeks ago around a campfire once again down by Oak Creek outside Sedona. And they're both doing great, and they found a place to stay in Cottonwood, Arizona over the winter. And Jude's dreadlocks have grown out a bit, and she's they're looking a little bit more natural than they were when we saw her in the fall. And more importantly than Jude's hair is that both of them have some really great insights, both into life on the road and in how to live life in general. So it was a joy for me to kind of re-listen to this show, and I think they got some great things to say. So we're going to rejoin that show now, and I'm kind of describing the place where we're camped out down by Oak Creek. It's a place that I've camped out several times over the years when I travel through northern Arizona. And Oak Creek is just wide enough that it would probably take 10 or 20 steps to get across it on the rocky bottom. And it usually runs clear, comes down from Flagstaff, Arizona, out of the mountains. And it's a very beautiful spot because of the contrast. Because if you go up the slope just a few feet from the creek, it's all desert, all prickly pear cactus and a couple other kinds of cactus, and really scrubby bushes, what's called cat's claw bushes, which are these thorny bushes that are just they're just like little teeny cat's claws. If you get any of them stuck in your clothing, it takes quite a while to pull out. And this particular trip, when I've been camped out down here, there's a young couple that's camped out, about 100 yards away down the road. Mike is the guy's name, and Mike is they're both probably in their early 20s. And Mike is a pretty confident guy with short, curly blonde hair and bright eyes. And his girlfriend, Jude, what her defining characteristic as when you first meet her, she's got these short little dreadlocks that she's starting to kind of stick out of her head like little fingers. And she has a very serene smile and a very quiet wisdom about her. And they travel around with their little white dog, who is actually deaf. So you'll hear the dog a little bit in these recordings. And also in these recordings, you'll hear a guy named Kyle, who is also camped out down by Oak Creek. And Mike and Jude's fire kind of became a gathering point. And on the night that I made these recordings, Kyle was camped out or at the fire, and Mike and Jude, of course, were there, and I was there with the dog, and we were talking about what it's like to be on the road and what it's like to be traveling. And I think, especially because they're a young couple and this is the first time they've done it, they have some really great insight into just the magic that can happen when you set out on the road. And so we're going to pick up the story as Mike begins to talk about why they left New Hampshire.
I was going to nursing school.
Oh, that's right.
I was finishing up nursing school. I was paying rent, living in an apartment, and I had all these, you know, ideas of what I thought my life was supposed to be like, and I've kind of had like an alternative, I guess, approach to doing things. You know, the 9-to-5 thing, the whole college education, throwing yourself into debt and forming yourself into a predictable lifestyle and routine just didn't really tickle my fancy. So I just kind of
think up. Yeah. New Hampshire, but it actually was like a good thing because it made us like able to leave.
Like my dad, you know, spied on me.
His dad paid
apartment.
Spies to watch us in our apartment, like in the apartment
when
building
I was, like, 21
and outside.
Years old, and then he caught us smoking.
Yeah,
pot.
So he knew we were smoking, and
but
like
he
we got kicked
every
out.
Day and so he kicked us out.
Yeah, we were kicked out, and then we left like a month later.
Yeah, but the cool part is like for the first time in my life, like I went down to the river and I was always worried about something. I'm always appeasing somebody else as opposed to really doing what I felt I needed to do. I was very submissive in that way, very passive. And I realized it was getting me nowhere. You know, I couldn't really make these people happy. I was miserable. I wasn't doing what I wanted to do. And one day I was standing down watching the river and thinking, and like I always thought about the same things. I was like, man, when am I just going to man up and do what I need to do? And then this, you know, I just said, it. You know, my daddy yeah. kicked me out of my apartment, and Judy was right there with me, and she could just feel the energy and get released from me. And I was like, you know, and like people talk about like all this kind of things, but this was like a really tangible event. And it was so f***ing cool. And I just
We've been wanting to leave.
Yeah,
we've
just been wanting to leave and do our own thing. And even since, you know, I don't know, man. And I just finally said, f*** it. I said, I'm done. I'm not going to school. And I just said, f*** it, done. And at that point, like, f***ing the craziest thing, like the best, most peaceful and content energy flowed throughout my entire body, and it hasn't left since that very day. I woke up the next day and I felt amazing. And I went to bed that night, and I woke up the next day.
It was so good.
Felt amazing. And that's what has happened ever since
that day.
That was
like 3 months ago.
It was June 23rd. I'll never forget it. And I said, all right, let's do whatever we need to do. And we started traveling. We stayed at Michigan at the Hindu monastery for a week, and you know, helped this guy out. And now we're going to get a chance to go to India. And I mean,
we
ended up here, and
we
went to Wyoming,
California, all the way down California, and now we're here.
And then I had that crazy dream I was telling you about 2 nights after I was down at the river and said, you know, I let go, and really that energy came. And then the next night I had that vision, that dream, like we're sitting here right now, like that detailed and that defined. And I'm very, very, you know, I don't believe things that, you know, someone can put something down in front of me and I'm not going to take it at first. I'm going to go out and find it, you know, that it is what it is for myself. You know what I mean? It needs to be concrete. And so this whole spirituality thing and spirit, and like you have so much power within yourself, like I never really believed any of it until I lived it. You know what I mean? And I was just, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. And things have just happened in these past few months that there is, it would be way too much coincidence. You know what I mean? So yeah. it's a trip. It's like a giant trip, man. And now I'm going to the Hopi in 9 days that I had a vision about, you know, 4 months ago. So it's pretty crazy.
And what are you going to be doing up at the Hopi?
We're meeting the chief of the Hopi, the spirit elders.
We're just going to camp there.
We're going to camp there and meet a lot of the people and have some conversations. And I don't know what I'm supposed to get out of it, but I know I'm going to get something. And that's a trip too. I mean, these people have, you know, again, a lot of things like prophecies and all that. It's like, well, what, you know, that I don't really believe in that. But then I read about it. I read about it and what they're saying and what it actually means and how it fits in our current society. And, you know, let's face it, a lot of people like to pretend. A lot of people are very superficial. You know, oh, hey, the weather's great, huh? Yeah, you know, my investor, you know, made a good move for me. Things are looking good. We got our new summer home. It's like, okay, where's the substance in your life, though? You know what I mean? People put that on the back burner. That's the most important thing. You know, people always ask why we're here and what are we supposed to be doing, but we do a pretty good job, you know, trying to stay away from that. And I figure, you know, you embrace it and really figure it out. It's very beneficial. It's my own personal experience, but I find that a lot of other people have a lot of beautiful experiences that coincide very perfectly, but it's how they find it for themselves as an individual, you know?
Yeah.
So,
that's the story.
That's the story. That's the story, Morning Glory.
Nice. Yeah, I was thinking this evening because, you know, Michelle was down here and her kids, and then the folks from down there, you know, walked down and Kyle's here, and I was just like, wow. And I was thinking about, like, I've been to Michelle's house, you know, like, you know, regular, like, kind of like residential neighborhood,
yep.
You know, on the block, and there are the other houses on the block. I'm like, man, what if, like, on every block in the country, like, people did this every
yeah.
night?
Yeah.
Like, the neighbors just came over and said, hey, we got too many grapes, and you want some grapes? And you're like, yeah, let me roll you a cigarette, and, like, sit around the campfire, and
I love it.
You know, roast some marshmallows, and then they go back home and go to bed. Like, what if that happened on every block in this country?
People would be happy.
Oh, yeah.
People would be happy.
There'd be so fewer problems.
Yep. See, that's really cool that you get, you know what I mean? That's f***ing sweet. And that's kind of what these types of things do, you know what I mean? People just meet up, and then you're like, wow, what a great experience. And then you carry that with you somewhere else, you know what I mean? And people, we all disperse and carry it with each other and you know, for other people, and just spread it on until maybe one day that is a reality. Maybe that is a possibility. Maybe it's not too far off. People need change, especially now. So who knows?
Yeah. That's it. Hey, it's got to swing too far one direction so people just like rail against it and go like, wow, why are we all living in these little houses? Yep. We never see our neighbors. We don't even know who they are. And just like...
But what do you know? That the same, they're doing the same things as us. We share a lot of similarities. Wow.
Yeah.
Even emotionally, too. And how about that? Even problems. Wow. We're not so different. We don't have to pretend like we don't have problems or feelings, and you know?
Yeah.
People and, just got their...
And I've been a few places. I see that starting to happen. You know, we're like neighbors. Getting, like my friends in Missoula, they got some chickens. And like, so everybody on the block knows, like, hey, just go to their house and they'll give you a dozen eggs, you know?
Yeah.
Because they always have too many.
Yeah.
And you know, and then you trade that for that. And then the guy's like, hey, if, you know, you've been giving me chicken eggs. Let me, like, yeah, I just knitted this sweater. Here.
Yeah.
Here, have a sweater.
That's the way it goes, man. People are picking it up. Going back to basics because, you know what? It's going to say, people aren't, I don't know, man. I just really believe our society has been pretty perverted and defiled and manipulated to a point where a lot of people got powerful and greedy, and it's just really such an intricate and elaborate, you know, kind of, you were saying earlier, like a pyramid scheme. It was totally off something. It was off. It was totally different than what I'm talking about, but it somehow it all got put in place and pretty solidly, so that you don't really have much wiggle room to kind of, you know what I mean? You almost have to manipulate what is all around you to get your peace of mind out of it. Do you know what I mean? Like taxes and jobs, and it's like, yeah. Oh, well, I'd rather work for myself. You know what I mean? Because it's like you'd rather not be working at all, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah.
So people always, so. Yeah, well, we're all the same, though. That's why we're all trying to, maybe we'll all get on the same wavelength someday. Who knows what would happen with that? You know, even when that nutty guy, Robert, was down here and was saying, you know, we should all be... Imagine if everybody had the intention of curing a disease. If everybody had that intention, maybe they don't achieve it. But there's, you know, that's their mindset. You know, a beautiful and beneficial mindset. A lot of would get done, you know? It wouldn't be people saying, oh, that's never going to happen. You know, who knows? I think a lot of change will happen in this lifetime. I really do. It may be bad at first, but yeah, it's already happening. And who am I to talk? You know, I'm 21 years old, but I'm plenty to talk. I've lived a lot of life for a 21-year-old. I really have, though.
That you have, yeah.
But so we all really have. Think about it. Everybody's got a beautiful story. Everybody. That's why I was telling Kyle early, I'll sit down and talk to anybody about anything. And we're, you know, you just learn so much. You just sit down and listen.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm not like a big... I don't really believe in God, but, yeah, but at the same time, like, I believe that God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I always think? You know, I've never been a religious person either at all. And then I found spirituality, and it's all about you. And it's the power of yourself. And I found that you yourself may find yourself having powers just like God. You know what I mean? If you can look at it scientifically, you can look at it religiously, you can look at it any way you want, but you boil it down, it breaks down to the same thing. You know, this wood is, you know, carbon and certain elements and you know, minerals or whatever, but it's all, even us as human beings, we're 90% water. Like if we are all that everything is, you know what I mean? Not to be like, oh, all hippy-dippy and like we're the trees and the rocks. But yeah, it's like true. We're the same makeup as all of this. You know, we're just structured differently and integrated differently. And, you know, but that's why you kind of, like when you get some kind of intuitive feeling or premonition about something and you're right, it's not that much of a shock. I mean, you're in tune a lot more than you think you are. It's just you use 10% of your mind because that's kind of what we've been dumbed down and expected to use. But you start breaking down those barriers and... You get a lot done.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, I talk from experience, and I never knew any of it was possible.
I've just been using the play.
And the goal is not the powers, though.
No, yeah, absolutely not. That's the cool part. Mm. The goal is, you know, you're no better than anybody because you're all the same. We are all the same. And really, the only thing that puts us to believe that we're better than anybody else is our ego, which we need to do away with, because our ego tells us that, yeah, I mean, that we're better than people, or we have better talents, or we do this better. But no, we all have our own faults, and I guess it's whether or not you choose to consciously recognize them.
Right.
And actually do something about them. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Not yet. But you can certainly make steps to get there. You know, you want to go home and beat your kids or something, or you want to... I mean, see, that's what happened. You know, my dad did that, and, you know, now he has to live with that. And, yeah, I mean, you just don't have to do that. You don't. But sometimes it's hard because you get caught up in all, in like tons of shit, and you think you can't escape. But you can.
What's cool about the powers is that you can help people with them.
Yeah, and even show them that they have them themselves. Just lying dormant.
Right?
Oh. What is like a human being?
Sometimes the powers are kind of entertaining, though.
Yeah, they are. Sometimes they're not like powers, like superpowers, like, you know what I mean? It's not like that. It's not like, oh, the moon or something, but just little things, you know what I mean? Like, when we didn't have any money or work, I was like, yeah, not really worried about it. Something
I
will
can
come
save
along.
Your life.
And now we worked for this lady and made some money, and now, you know what I mean? I wasn't worried about it. I don't know.
Look how she's sleeping.
it's good to live harmoniously and in love and bliss.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I don't know, I'm sorry if I talk a lot about it. It's just for my own personal experience. But I also try to be very humble about it, because for the most part, if someone were to come in front of you and start talking and like about how great all this is, and it's like sometimes it kind of is, you know, turn it off, and it's like, oh, well, good for you. But I'm really just trying to say that, I don't know, you must have events in things, you know, where you're just like, okay, well, it makes sense to me, and I may not be able to convey it to somebody else, but I know, do you know what I'm trying to say? It's like within you, like, certain things that have happened to you that really just don't make a lot of sense, but was, I don't know, like that, remember Steven that was around here at the fire?
Yeah.
From Missouri? He was telling me, like, you know, he was traveling too, and he was out in Las Vegas, and somebody just told him to come down here into Sedona, and, you know, like, he met up with all these people, and he met up with us, and then he met up with some other guy, and, like, I didn't even know what Sedona was, and somebody told me about it, and I don't know, I guess he just, I mean, we've been around, like, we had some guy, some homeless black guy in, like Berkeley or something,
yeah,
pull us off
awesome.
The street. Like, we were just walking down the street, and he said, you know, something like, you must be, you know, people of spirit. He's like, the way you carry yourselves, I noticed you walking up the street, you know. And then he said,
I noticed that you guys are humble. It's the first thing he said to us.
Yeah.
It was just cool, I guess.
You know, and it's something as little as that. I mean, you could, you know.
And then we had like an awesome conversation with him for like a half hour, just standing there.
Yep.
And then he took off.
Yeah, you love that. Like, that's the thing with traveling. Yeah, you have this crazy, like, deep experience with somebody, and, like, then they just go away somehow.
Yeah.
You meet so many people.
But it's cool. It's kind of like a road less traveled. People get cooped up in their houses, and they grow stale and old with routine and things they burden themselves with.
Yeah, there's a line in a Greg Brown song where it's like, people say small things when they spend too much time in little rooms.
It's true.
My strength,
I mean, look at how much there is to think about. Look at how many different things there are to think about. I mean, we got the fucking world, you know what I mean?
It's all contradictory. Yeah.
And a lot of it is contradictory.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you kind of got to sift through all of it and find out what rings true for you. And you'll find by taking that time to figure out what's true. that when you reach these conclusions, they're very synonymous with everybody else's conclusions that they've come to from a lot of time, you know, thinking about it and, you know, and inquiring as to what truly is. That's the coolest part. You know what I mean? Like, you come from Colorado, Dave's from Nevada, we're from New Hampshire. Like, we're all from, you know, all, like, we've never met each other before. I mean, we can all come together and share a lot of the same conclusions, a lot of the same beliefs, same thought patterns. I mean, that says a lot, and I think it's really cool when everybody can come together and, you know, there's a good energy about it. Because, I mean, we could just talk about how nice the stars are and how nice it is at this campground. But, really, you get a little more in it when you open up on a personal level and you feel comfortable with it. Super, just everybody has something to contribute. It's been good. These are therapeutic fire sessions we get going. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, checks in the mail for that.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss it here though.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I will too, but it's a memory you take with you. And you get to come back. That's a good thing. You found it, so.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. I remember one time, like, I was all like crazy about this girl and stuff in Skagway, and like as I've been, I was stuck in Skagway, broken down for like a week and a half or something, and like I was like, oh man, I love this town. Finally, I got my bus fixed, and I was like heading out of town. I'm just like, I don't want to leave, you know, like I don't want to go. But I remember like thinking about it like a month later, and just think to myself like, wow, if I never left there, I wouldn't have had like this experience and that experience and that experience that were like. You know, and it's not even about them being better, just different.
Right.
Just like all these different things I got to feel that I wouldn't have if I had stayed where I thought it was going to be great, where I was so comfortable and so happy. If I had stayed there and not just been like, I got to go. I don't know why, but I have to go. Just trust it and leave. Like, I would have missed so much.
Yeah.
I could still be stuck there.
That's leaving something you're comfortable with. You know, for something else that you don't know what lies down the road. You know, but then you come to it and you find it's something beautiful, you know. And then I guess the more and more you do it, the more and more you're okay with it.
There's no other way.
Well, you know, Chris over there had shared, you know, with me a long time ago, you know, about talking to me about his travels and stuff. And he made a really good point that kind of still sticks with me in that. You grow stale if you're in one place for too long. You know, you're doing the same things, you get too used to it, it's familiar. You really got to expose yourself to things you don't know, things you're not familiar with, things you're not comfortable with. And that's, you know, where a lot of growth and
yeah, you can only grow from it.
Right.
Nothing bad can come of it.
And I think that's an important thing to know and understand. Because sometimes it's scary and you're leaving your comfort zone. But if you also broaden it at the same time.
That's a great one. Yeah, you broaden your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Because, there's experiences I've had, you know, where, like, you know, like, well, now I see, like, just completely off the wall, weird stuff, like, go on, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. Anyway. Yeah, or like, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, I'd have been like, holy cow, look at that. It's like, you know, like a man riding a unicycle, playing a ukulele with a tutu on. And like, here, if that walked down the road, I'd be like, huh, hey, he must be camped down there. Cool.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's his thing. Who cares?
Yeah, I know what you mean, man. Kind of breaking out of the norm. And then I guess seeing what's normal for everybody else. So I guess there really is no normal. What is normal?
What is normal? Normal is what you're used to. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, but LSD is sweet.
I know, that's so random. You just heard my thought.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What were you thinking?
I was thinking LSD was sweet. I was thinking about
my acid trip that I had when I was sitting here, and I could just feel the energy of the river right here running through me.
Yeah.
And I was just like thinking about acid, the river, energy.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Right, instant, like.
And then I said it.
I knew a woman, she was my friend. And when we met, I felt like I had been born again. I would spend all our time outside. 'Cause people say small things when they stay too long in little rooms. In the sunshine, in the rain or the snow. I even climbed a pine tree in a tornado. Outside was where all our love was found. And I guess we must have walked on every street in town. Every street in town. Every street in town. On the cool summer evenings or when the snow was falling down. Go walking on every street in town. Been gone such a long, long time. Ah, but it's often I can feel her right there by my side. When I'm walking, I'm talking to her in the wet and yellow fall. Past the parks in the summer where the kids is playing ball. And it's sometimes I see a woman out alone. And she worried about getting back to her home. And I think of my friend and all of the joy that we found when we's just walking and talking on every street in town. And I wonder when the day will ever come when we won't be so sad and so dumb. When a woman could walk out free in the day or night without having to worry if she's gonna be alright on every street in town, every street in town. In the cool summer evenings or when the snow was falling down, she could go walking on every street in town.
That was Greg Brown with Every Street in Town off of his 1982 release, The Live One. I want to give a big thank you to Mike and Jude and Kyle for their hospitality and their company around the campfire on many a night when I was camped out this trip down by Oak Creek. Hopefully we'll see them somewhere down the road. My name is Dave Manning. You've been listening to the My Home is on the Road show. This is the show with stories and music from the American road. Also want to give a big thank you to Groundswell Media Productions. They're the folks that put my website together and make sure the show gets podcast every week. So a big thank you to them. Go to groundswellmediaproductions.com if you want to get in touch with them. Also want to give a big thank you to KWMD Guy, who I remember when we first got together to talk about putting the show on the radio. I kind of asked him about it, and then there's a long pause, and then he said,
"Yeah, but LSD is sweet."
All right, safe travels and have yourself a fantastic day.